song we just sung is an amazing song. If you believe that, you know, that is just wonderful to realize that He knows my name. Do you believe that? Every person He talked to in the Bible, He would say, Saul, is that right? And usually He would change their names. Do you catch that? A lot of that happened in the Bible because He knows their name, and He usually changed their names when they got saved. Some tribes of missionaries that deal with in Africa and places, when a person gets saved, they usually get a new name. And He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls. He hears me when I call. We have the privilege of having Emily and the children with us today. And last night, Maggie was sick, and Mama heard every cry and stayed up a long time figuring out how many stings did she get. She had about 3 or 4 stings, bee stings, and it was a tough time. But Emily heard every cry. Is that right? God's just like that. God's our Father. He's our Maker. He formed our heart. Did you see that newscast this week about the man who lost his daughter, his 20-year-old daughter, in a crash or something, and they took the heart out of her and put it in a man, and he was riding his bike across country? Did you see that? Did you see that? And he went down to Texas, and he met the man who has his daughter's heart. It was a moving thing. And they took stethoscopes, put his ear in, and he listened to his daughter's heart. Now that was amazing. That was amazing. That was wow. And he was weeping and hugging the guy, and here his daughter's heart, even though she's dead, lives in that guy. We have amazing God. We have amazing God. And you can't have parts that fit every person and not have a designer. Come on. And it's amazing to realize that He knows, and He sees, and He cares. And I'm so glad we have a God that's interested in me. And don't forget that. I trust that this morning I want you to leave here shouting. You just realize He knows my name. You know, I'm important to Him, and it seems so far away, and you know, 1 of 6 billion, but He's interested in me, and He knows all about me, and He still loves me, and He's concerned for me. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thought to realize that God is with us, and He's my Father, and no matter what happens, He is with me. John chapter 1. He's real. God is real. Everybody, John chapter 1, James just read it so well. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. It was. He's real. He exists. He exists. God is. God is real. In the beginning was the Word. Note the capital W. And the Word was with God. Okay? The Word was in the beginning. He exists. He's real. And He was with God. Okay? He's personal there. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. You're saying, wow. God really exists. He's real. And He's been real ever since the beginning. And verse 3 says, all things were made by the Word, Him. And without Him, so we got the Word as a Him, was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The Word is changed to a pronoun now. In Him was life. He's real. And the life was the light of men. He's real light. He helps everybody. And the darkness is not, He's light. He's good, evil. And then there was John, and he wasn't the light. Verse 7 and verse 8, he came to witness the light. Verse 9, the true light was Him, and He lighteth every man. He's real, and every man can be touched by Him. Verse 10, He was in the world. We're going to learn that. He's Jesus. And the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Aren't you glad He's knowable? They did not know Him. They still don't know Him. But we do. He came unto His own, the Jews, and they received Him not. But as many Gentiles... Mr. Silvers has a hat, and it says infidel. Did you see his hat that he's wearing? It says infidel. And it's written in Arabic, because the Arabic people call Christians what? Infidels. I was at a gas station yesterday, and a guy had the same hat on. It was infidel, and under it has Arabic written. And I said, I like your hat. And he says, thank you. And all it says is, hey, they call us infidels, folks. And we're the believers. We're not the bad guys. But it said infidel, and I just like that. Because he came unto his own, and they didn't receive him. But as many, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become children of God, forgiven, on their way to heaven, experiencing Him, knowing Him, even to them that believe on His name. And it says, which were born not of blood, not of natural conception, nor of the will of man, physical impulse, nor of the will of man, but just father, natural father, but God. They were born of God. And the Word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us, and we saw Him. We know Him. We were He's knowable. And it says, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17, where does grace and truth come from, or through whom? Verse 17, grace and truth comes from Jesus. So we know that the Word was Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning. He was with God. He was God. He's real. He exists. It's powerful. Jesus, no historian argues with the point that Jesus really lived a little over 2,000 years ago. Is that true? He really lived. It is a historical fact that He really lived. He really lived in Nazareth. He was around Galilee. He was in Jerusalem. He walked through there. He really lived. And He really died. We have statistics that He really died. Now, the Bible says He really arose. But He really live. God is, and He's real. He's real. And I trust that just moves you so much that in the beginning, God, and this God that is real is knowable in our own lives. And our brain is an amazing concept. I trust you catch this. Hope you can read the little things of where it all comes from. When Patrick hit his head there, I don't know where he hit, but it's in the touch part and the movement part and all that. It got shook up. The brain, let me read you about the brain. It is amazing. I'm going to have more statistics next week. But the brain, this is amazing. The human brain simultaneously processes an amazing amount of information. Your brain takes in all the colors and objects you see, the temperature around you, the pressure of your feet on the floor, the sounds around you, the dryness of your mouth, even the texture on a keyboard. Your brain holds and processes all your emotions and thoughts and memories. At the same time, your brain keeps track of the ongoing functions of your body, like your breathing pattern, your eyelid movements, your hunger, your movement of muscles and your hands. And it says that it is the brain processes more than a million messages a second. Wow. It says your brain weighs the importance of all this data, filters out the irrelevant and unimportant. It screens functions. Function is what allows you to focus and to operate effectively in your world. The brain functions differently than any other organ. There is an intelligence to it, the ability to reason, to produce feelings, to dream, to plan, to take action, to relate to other people. It tells your eyes to see 7 million different colors. It's Amazing. It has, the eyes have automatic focus, and they handle an amount of 1.5 million messages. With all of that, we have to have a creator. He's real. Design demands a designer, and our human brain is something else. And today we're using less and less and less of it. Dr. Whitcomb felt that the closer you got to creation, the greater your brain power. He felt that the pyramids, when they built the pyramids, they had stronger minds then. He went to the pyramids and he told us that the entire pyramids, these big stones that were just massive, were all still within like a 16th of an inch all the way around it, perfectly put together. And he says, how did he didn't under? He says, we can't even do that today. And the amazement of they're still there to realize that God is real. Huh? It is so amazing that He's real. And I trust you understand that He exists. You can't look outside and not realize He exists. And the rainbow the other night, He exists. There's no explanation for that. And remember, it says in Genesis that He sees the rainbow. He sees the rainbow. And it's wonderful. He is knowable. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Everybody turn to these. These are just great, great verses. In your bulletin, most of these verses are written on the backside with the message that we have there for you to take notes. So if you'd like to take notes there, add this verse here under knowability. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Great, great verses. It says this. 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, according to His divine power, this real God hath given, He's real, He gives unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How's He do it? Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious, what? Promises, that by these, the promises, ye might become partakers of the divine nature. He's given you everything you need to know Him, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, that I may know Him. Now, do we know everything about Him? No, He's incomprehensible in that point. Let me just read to you Deuteronomy 29:21. It says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Just like how do you call from Elkhart, Indiana, and call to Singapore, okay? And Singapore picks it up and says hello, and at the exact second you say hello. How's that happen? I don't have a clue, but it's pretty neat. And you realize, wow, just God. There are some things we don't need to know. What He says in Deuteronomy 29:29. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of His law. We have enough to know Him. And also, every day, every year, you get to know Him what? Better, more. You'll never learn all there is to know about God. You're going to keep learning till the day you die, and then you're going to be with Him in glory. Woo! And you realize He's knowable. He's God. He's revealed Himself. And it is wonderful to catch that. Turn with me. Everybody turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. These are great verses. Deuteronomy chapter 4. These verses just poured on of the knowability of God. And I want you to know, you have the same God of Deuteronomy. You have the same God of the children of Israel. And He's knowable. And you can get to know Him through His Word, through godly people, through the church. And it's wonderful through meditation and prayer. It's wonderful. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31. It's wonderful. It says this, "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God." He's real. "He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forgive the covenant." He's knowable. He's made a covenant between us that He will love us. He will save us. "Of thy father which He sware unto them. For ask," here's just a question, a consuming question of all history. "For ask now the days of the past," think about history, "which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth. Ask from the one side of heaven to the other," check all the globe, all the creation, "whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing," this covenant that God made with man, He's knowable, "is, and hath heard, had been heard like it. Did ever people," in all of history, "hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire, as thou hast heard and live?" He can be knowable. It's wonderful. Verse 34. "Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation," Israel, the Jews, "from amidst of any nation," another nation, "by temptations," all trials and testings, "and signs and wonders, by war," God did all of that, "and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes." He's knowable. He's seeable. Hasn't God been good in your life? I'm going to give you some experiences of my own life in a few minutes. Verse 35, "Unto it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God, there is none else beside Him." And it says, "Out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice," He's knowable, "that He might instruct thee upon the earth and to show thee His great fire. And thou heardest His words," as we can read in the Bible today, "out of the midst of the fire." And verse 37, "And because He loved thy father, therefore He chose their seed after them and brought thee out in His sight with a mighty power out of Egypt. And He drive out nations, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, and to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day and consider in thy heart that the Lord, He," what? "Is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee." Isn't God good? He's interested in us. And it says, "and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God hath given be forever. But if from thence thou seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt," what? "Find Him." He's knowable. "If thou seek Him with all thine heart and with all thy soul." It is wonderful to have a God that's knowable, that I can know Him. And let me state this. It says in the Bible, in Romans there, it says in Romans 8 verse 16, it says, "His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we're a child of God." He's knowable. You say, "Preacher, I don't hear from Him too much. I don't see Him too much." Let me state this. It says His Spirit bears witness with what? Your spirit, that you're a child of God. It also says in John 10:27, "My sheep," what? "Hear My voice, and they know them, and I know them, and they follow Me." Let me state this. If you're not hearing from God because He's knowable, and you should be, if you're not hearing from Him, and if you're not knowing Him, and if you're not growing in that knowing, you might not be saved. Because He is knowable. He is communicating Himself through creation, through life, through experiences that He's with us, and then through the Word of God, and through church, and through study, and through teaching. He's revealing Himself. And if you're not getting it, maybe you're not saved. Because my sheep hear my voice. And they know me. And they follow me. And it says the Spirit bears witness with our human spirit, our soul, that we're the sons of God. And, well, preacher, I just don't know him too well. Maybe you're not saved. That was a heavy statement. I read it somewhere this week. That we need to check out because he's real. He's knowable. And your knowledge of him should be getting more near and dear. Is that right? You never know him all. Wow, when we get to heaven, it's going to be, whoa. But until then, you should see him every day in your life somewhere, working in creation. We have a cardinal that's moving in around our house. Isn't it beautiful to see those red little creatures? And you say, wow. And you just realize the rainbow the other night, that God's here. He's noble. And as you read the Bible, it gives you peace. Is that right? It gives you joy. Gives you comfort. And it just gives you the joy of knowing that God's here. And he's knowable. He's real. He's knowable. And he's interested in me. I love that point. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Everybody turn there. Acts chapter 17. He's interested in each of us. I just want to drive this point home because it is so important that he's interested in each of us. Acts chapter 17, verse 22, it says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said unto men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." You're just very religious. You know, idols and everything. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Verse 24. "God hath made the heavens and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands," these idol worshiping temples. Verse 25, "neither is worshipped with men's hands," things that men made, idols, "as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life." He is. He's knowable. "And breath and all things." Verse 26, "and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations." Aren't you glad God's in charge? He's interested in me. He had me born in West Virginia. You know, and then I end up in Indiana. And it's important, you know. And Emily here is ending up in West Virginia. And my daughter is in Florida. And your kids. And Hannah's down in Georgia. I think she needs to come back. Okay. But it's neat to see all of that. And you realize he's interested. He's determined where we're going to be. Are you in the right place with God? Are you right where you're supposed to be? You know, he's determined all of this. We could have been born over in India. We could have been born in South America. But he determined all of that. You had no choice. He's interested in you. And I just love that point. He's appointed all in the boundaries and everything. Verse 27, "that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." Is that good? He's here. He's real. He's knowable. And he's interested in me. It is just wonderful. It is great, you know. He's all here. He made every one of us from one nation. We're all related. And He can be grasped and we can find Him. And He's appointed everything. Verse 28. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. We come from Him, the Creator. Verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring, the image of God, we ought not to think, you know, he's interested in us personally, that the Godhead is like unto idols of made of gold and silver and stone and graven by art and man's devices. The times of this idolatry, ignorance, God winked at. God put up with it. Okay? But, I love this. God winked at. He put up with it. But now commandeth all men everywhere to what? Repent. Find God. Know God. He's real. Know Him. He's interested in you. And He is life there. And it's because of that to repent. Verse 31. Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, Jesus, whereof He hath given assurance, proof, evidence unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. He gave us life, and we have that, and it is wonderful to catch that. It's amazing to think about life, to realize that my mom was from a drunkard family. My dad was from a very worldly family. They married unsaved. They got saved at the age of 27, and God led them into ministry. And Dad went to Bible college at 35, and we lived in Charleston in a church there, and Beckley and Madison and Ripley. One of the girls last week was from Ripley, West Virginia. She came from my dad's church. It was in Ripley, West Virginia. Is that cool? And my dad was in Portsmouth, you know, and all those times I went off to Bible college. And why I went to Bible college? Because my dad told me to. Is that pretty good? And went off a little confused and a little frustrated and unclear. And my mom said, I come back happy and rejoicing in the Lord. And God did a miracle. And I left Bible college a single frustrated man. And I met my dear wife at my first church. I stole the piano player and they never forgive me. But God's is God's hand? Is His hand? I trust you can go back to your life and just see God's hand and you realize, wow, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. And then in 1982, God brought us here to Grace, and it's just been wonderful to see God's hand in our lives, to see our Tim marry a girl from here and have the kids and have a ministry. Tim's the head pastor of Crossroads here in town. It's miraculous. I'm amazed every day. Huh? Amazed every day. And our youngest married Emily, and he's the youth pastor, children's pastor in West Virginia. And so it is just wonderful. And Chris is in Florida as a school teacher. And it's just miraculous how God, with Andrew. Andrew was living here, and he drove by the Edwardsburg Baptist Church. What's church called up there? Community Baptist Edwardsburg. And he said, Dad, he says, God's called me to be the youth pastor there. And I said, do you know anybody there? No. Remember that? And I said, Andrew, don't do that. Are you crazy? He walked right into the church and he said, God's called me to be a youth pastor here. I said, that guy's going to throw you out. And they hired him. Is that God or what? And he said, wow. And it's just been neat. He was in. He went to Bible college, and he was in the master's class. And one of the teachers is his present preacher, and he got to be friends. The present preacher, Dr. Mark Johnson, called him up a couple years ago and said, "I want you to be my children's pastor." And Andrew says, "Well, I'm a youth pastor, not a children's pastor." He said, "I don't care. I want you to be my children's pastor." And now he's the children's pastor out there. Isn't that amazing? How God just. God, huh? He's interested in us. He's interested in us, and it's so important to grasp that and to realize God's here. He's real. He's knowable. And He's interested in us, me. He's interested in me this week. As I was sitting out there wondering if we was going to have the fireworks, I looked up and saw the rainbow and I went, "Thank you, Jesus." And I pointed at Thaddeus back there and said, "Look at it." And she goes, I can't see it. And it is just, God's here. I trust you. Go looking for God every day. In creation, in His Word, in how He moves you with people, runs you into the right people. It's just neat how God's here. He's real. He's knowable. I need to read my Bible every day and get to know Him better. And then I need to go through the day expecting Him to walk and talk with me and show me and be a blessing. The song "In the Garden," is that right? In the Garden. Put the song up. In the Garden. It just says, "And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." Do you have that? And He walks with you, and He talks with you, and I love this part. "And He tells me I am His own." Woo! He's real, He's knowable, and He's interested in me. And the joy we share, me and Him together, as we tarry, walking and talking and listening, none other has ever known, huh? And we walk and talk. Everybody bowed their heads and closed their eyes. Do you know that? He's real. He's knowable. He's interested in you and me. Do you walk and talk with Him? Is your experience with Him growing? Is He getting nearer and dearer? If you don't have that, maybe you're not saved. "Preacher, I've been in a church all my life. I claim to be a Christian, but oh, I can't say." We walk and we talk and I listen and we have joy. And He tells me I'm His. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. I don't deserve it, but He saved me. And we have fellowship. And there's just nothing like it. And I've been growing. Man, this year's better than last year. And next year's going to be better than this year. It's just great to know He's real, He's knowable, and He's interested in me. And so I just go every day expecting God to show up wherever I go. I trust you know that. Preacher, it's wonderful, wonderful. If you can't say that, you need either to get saved or get revived. Check yourself out, because that's so important. It's not, a Christian is not a person that says, "Well, I prayed a prayer when I was 12, or I prayed a prayer when I was 6. No, it's life. It's real. He's knowable. He's interested in me. And we walk and talk, and my. And if I'm not doing it, man, I run to Him. I confess my sins and get back to walking and talking and joy. Preacher, pray for me. I know I'm saved, but pray for me to walk and talk with Him and have that joy and that peace that comes from knowing Him and realize He's interested in me and go looking for Him every day. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Any other? Come on. Get the joy of Jesus. It's revival time. He's real. He's knowable. He's interested in you. Love Him. Let Him love you every day. Let Him guide you, direct you, answer your questions. Guide you into truth. Bring Bible verses to your mind. Give you joy. Give you purpose. Give you meaning. Preacher, pray for me. I need a good dose of that. Pray for me. I'm saved, but I need a good dose of that. Amen. Many hands. If you're here this morning, don't know Jesus. Man, it's not a game. It's not just something that, well, I had it once and I don't know where it's going. I don't know. I know once saved, always saved is true. But let me tell you better make sure you're saved. Because I do believe the worst person in the world is the person who thinks they're saved. And then when they meet God, they weren't. The devil let them think it. Let me tell you, to let him walk and talk with you, there's nothing like it. To have joy in Jesus, nothing like it. Having peace, nothing like it. And it should get better and better. Wonderful. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray with you? Anybody? Pray with you? Lord Jesus, help each of us to grab revival, to let God come alive in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray.